Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Coast to coast, This Week in America. You've heard the uplifting stories. Passers-by dropping scads of cash into charity collection buckets, or anonymous donors paying off hospital bills for strangers, people helping victims during storms and natural disasters, or the simple act of someone bringing food to an elderly sick neighbor, or taking care of their garden while they recuperate. These acts of kindness make everybody feel good. But did you know there's a science behind that phenomenon called loving kindness? And research shows that learning and practicing loving kindness can profoundly affect your attitude, outlook, and even your health. Better yet, you can rewire your brain to be more present and kinder to others, giving your mood a daily boost. According to our guest today, Susan Smith-Jones, PhD, a holistic health and lifestyle expert and author, random acts of kindness bless both the giver and the receiver. She tells us why kindness should be a year-round practice. We welcome back to This Week in America, Dr. Susan Smith-Jones. Doctor, welcome back to the program. It's a pleasure to have you back with us. Great topic today.
You know, thanks, Rick. It's lovely to be with you, as always. And I love it when we've been together so many decades and we come across a topic we've never focused on before. And this is an important topic, like you said, for year-round.
Let's go back to when you realized the importance of kindness. Do you recall when you first learned being kind and that made you feel good?
Well, you know, we all have stories from our youth. I'm pretty sure most of us do. Growing up, even as a little girl, my parents and especially my mom and my grandmother always taught me to live by the golden rule. You know, do unto others as you would want them to do unto you. And then my mom and my grandmother always showed me by example. We'd often make food to give to a neighbor who was sick, or we always loved to fix up their gardens and surprise them. My mom and grandmother would always drive neighbors that needed help to the hospital, or find my mom worked for decades volunteering in a hospital. At college, something you might not know about me, I was an EMT, and I used to volunteer my time at the UCLA emergency room. I just happened to love doing that kind of work, and also in the children's ward. In my book, you have Kitchen Gardening, about growing sprouts in your kitchen. I write about a story where my grandmother and I would grow sprouts in her kitchen, and then we'd walk them over to all the neighbors. All of the neighbors around the block would get gifts from us of our freshly grown sprouts, like alfalfa sprouts and broccoli sprouts. And then I'll never forget this. Growing up, we would always have big holiday meals from Easter to Thanksgiving to Christmas. And my mom would always call the local military base and say, "We have extra room at our table. Do you have any military people that can't get home for the holidays? We'd like them to join us for our big dinner." And, of course, one or two or more would come over and join us. And it was always so much fun. So that's sort of how I got my start. And to this day, I try to find something I can do every day, at least one thing, to show kindness to someone else. It really makes a difference.
And it's interesting. It starts at an early age, and you talk to so many people that the rest of their lives impacted by something their parents taught them, or they learned from a teacher, or learned at school, that type of thing. The topic today is health benefits of kindness. Susan Smith-Jones, our guest on the program. You know, it's the holiday season, typical for the season. People start to feel generous. Tell us about generosity, how it has a positive effect on our brains. I mentioned in the beginning that this is good for us as well as whoever we're trying to help.
Yes, and it does affect us in so many ways. First of all, at this time of year, the donations to the bell ringers and those red buckets, it increases. The year-end donations to our favorite charities. And you may feel even more benevolent to help someone who's struggling, maybe as a result of COVID, or a homeless person, or shovel off snow from a neighbor's front walkway or driveway. And while these are all quite attractive, I bet a lot of people don't know that kindness can actually heal your body, and there are numerous ways. Let's start with the brain. Our brains, Rick, they love kindness. Our neurological reward system shows a similar activity when we win money and when the same money goes to a charity of our choice. You know, in other words, when we give, our brain looks like we're gaining something, and the pleasure we feel makes us more likely to give in the future. So giving, being kind, has a positive effect on our brain and how our brain is wired.
You know, it's interesting. When I say in the beginning that we enjoy giving as much as the recipient enjoys getting it. That's just not idle chatter, is it? There are studies that actually back up the health benefits of giving.
Yes, so many studies. I wish we had all day long. I could rattle them all off to you. But here's one by Elizabeth Dunn at the University of British Columbia. And she found that people given $50 who spent it on others are happier at the end of the day than people who spend it on themselves. And the same goes for a work bonus of a few thousand dollars if you're lucky enough to work at a company where you get a few thousand dollars.
Yes, yes.
And even though beforehand people say they'd much prefer to spend the money on themselves, and we're even happier when we remember buying things for others than when we remember buying things for ourselves. And the more generous we are in general, the more money we spend on gifts and donations, the happier we tend to be. So pay attention to that this holiday season and throughout the year. When you show kindness to others, pay attention to how great you feel, that pleasure.
There's more on this topic on Dr. Susan's website, susansmithjones.com. Several of her books, specifically Wired for High-Level Wellness, Simple Ways to Rejuvenate, Meditate, and Prosper. Again, that book's available wherever books are sold. You can get an autographed copy if you go to the website, thisweekinamerica.us. Connect on to Dr. Susan's website. Again, that's susansmithjones.com. It's interesting we talk about giving is pleasurable, and there are people that will say, I would love to do that, but I'm on a limited income. I really don't have a lot of money that I can give. How will that work if I give people my time? How does that work if you're helping others with time rather than money?
Yes, that is such a great question, because I think for a lot of people it might seem easier to give money to others than to spend time on them. Or to spend money on others. But it turns out that both forms of kindness make us happier. There was a study on more than 3,000 people, 3,000, Rick, and it found that 95% of people feel good when they help someone. 53% of people feel happier and more optimistic. And those feelings last hours or even days for 81% of the people. It's like you get this helper's high, and that's a real phenomenon. So whether you have money or not to spend on others, time is equally as beneficial for you and the receiver.
Talk a little bit about volunteering and the mental, physical health benefits we gain through the kindness of the act of volunteering.
Yes, all right, that's a good one too. So in a recent study that I read a couple weeks ago, I found that regular volunteering increases happiness, life satisfaction, self-esteem, and a sense of control over our lives. And it works for the young as well as the old. In one study, black inner-city teens who tutor younger children have more positive attitudes toward themselves, others, their education, and their future. And elderly people who volunteer are more satisfied with life. Now, that benefits us physiologically, too, because kindness strengthens, according to studies, our immune system. It reduces aches and pains. It improves our cardiovascular profile. And it boosts energy and strength in elderly people. In one 2006 study, the most loving and kind couples were shown to have the lowest levels of atherosclerosis, which is clogging of the arteries. And then various other studies I've read in the past 15 years have shown that regular volunteers have better health, and among the elderly, a lower mortality rate. So something to think about, Rick.
It really is, and it's interesting. We talk about the mental aspect, and you sort of take that for granted, that, yeah, I feel good when I'm helping others. There's a physical a portion of that as well, a component of that, that again, it's beneficial to our whole lives. And fascinating talking about it in the studies that back that up with Susan Smith Jones, PhD, your website, SusanSmithJones.com, Health Benefits of Kindness. Volunteering is interesting. How often should we volunteer? And tell us a little bit more about how we benefit simply witnessing the acts of kindness.
Yes, yes. Well, there's a study by Alan Lux. He's the famous person, the guy who researches the helper's high. And he found that weekly volunteering makes you 10 times more likely to experience health benefits than annual volunteering. In other words, don't just volunteer or help out at Christmas. Let's do it throughout the year.
Yes.
Among older people, Goldenites between the ages of 64 and 68, there was an Australian National University study that found that we get the greatest health benefits from volunteering about 2 to 4 hours a week, and then little benefit from any time beyond that. Now, and even witnessing, like you asked about, I love this. There was this other study done in 1988 at Harvard, how witnessing kindness is good for us. In this study, those participants, Rick, who watched a 50-minute video about Mother Teresa had elevated levels of salivary immunoglobulin A. They tested their saliva, and that protects us from pathogens in food. And all they did was watch a 50-minute video about the beautiful work that Mother Teresa had done, and it boosted their whole immune system.
It's just fascinating that there are studies. You know, this is sort of a hunch we've had for years because we enjoy when we're able to help others and we see the appreciation on the faces of other people. But to find out that there actually are health benefits, mental and physical, is fascinating. I'm going to take a break and come back and talk about depression, sort of the other side that happens this time of year. And is there anything, knowing that we can do to help people get through the holidays by exhibiting kindness to help them overcome their depression? And we'll do that with Dr. Susan Smith-Jones. The topic today, health benefits of kindness. And we're back on today's program after these messages. Welcome back. This Week in America, great to have you with us. Our guest, Susan Smith-Jones, her website, SusanSmithJones.com, talking today about the health benefits of kindness. Dr. Susan is a holistic health and lifestyle expert and author. Before we left, I was talking about depression is on the rise this time of year for a lot of obvious reasons. Can depression be lifted through kindness?
It absolutely can. And I've been doing a lot of research over the past 15 years on kindness and how it affects our body, you know, physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. And various studies have shown a connection between kindness, altruism, and volunteering, and less depression. And for volunteers, this is the case as long, though, keep this in mind, that they don't go overboard and overburden themselves by giving too much or too often. You know, being unkind to ourselves, like via low self-compassion, is also connected to depression and low psychological well-being. Now, oddly enough, those of us who are struggling might be some of the best candidates for kindness, because over the years, studies of people fighting disease, chronic pain, emotional trauma, have shown that kindness can help them cope better and combat negative emotions. In one study, Rick, in 2004 at Brown University, it showed that alcoholics who help other alcoholics have a 40% sober rate the next year compared to 22% among alcoholics who didn't help others. For patients with chronic back pain, helping other people that have chronic pain in their bodies actually decrease the intensity of their pain. And even HIV patients who practice altruism find that they have lower stress levels. So it's just fascinating what research has discovered in the last 15 years about all the benefits of kindness, which this world needs so much right now. When you turn on any news broadcast,
yes,
day or night, and you just want to turn the channel because it's all negativity and people being mean to each other.
And it's not seasonal. We need kindness throughout the year. All these tips that Dr. Susan is giving us, and all these in greater detail on her website, SusanSmithJones.com, in her book, Wired for High-Level Wellness, Simple Ways to Rejuvenate, Meditate, and Prosper. We need this year-round, and you give us the roadmap we need to follow, so it's not something that just happens once a year, but happens throughout the year. You touched on something there that's interesting, self-kindness. Let's talk about self-kindness. How important is that?
Well, I think that's the first step in all kindness, because it's hard to be kind to other people if you're not first kind with yourself. That's the most important relationship you have. That's how all other relationships are formed, from the relationship you have with yourself. So self-kindness is so important for coping. You know, let's just say, Rick, if we're ill or troubled, it's always easy, isn't it, to blame others and to think of all the things we could have done better. You know, everything that's wrong with us, all the opportunities we missed. But self-kindness is a way to find some peace and acceptance and to care for ourselves the way we would care for a loved one in our same situation. Now, interestingly, acne, and this is an interesting topic now about acne, because there's a new term called mask me. I don't know if you know that, but it's a lot of people, myself included, who are getting acne from wearing masks.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, and chronic acne sufferers, in one study, who practice self-compassion for 2 weeks, including challenging their inner critic and writing a self-compassionate letter, experience less shame and depression, as well as less physical burning and stinging due to the acne. Now, think about it this way, too. When self-critical people fail, their brains go into problem-solving mode. They feel more negative. They try to avoid the reality of failure. When self-compassionate people fail, brain areas related to positive emotions and compassion activate, and they tend to be more positive and accepting. So if you force self-compassionate people to list the worst things that have ever happened to them, they tend to comfort themselves and feel that everyone's gone through a similar experience, while self-critical people feel negative and worse off than others. So in short, and we all have different kinds of traumas in our life, trauma can present an opportunity. Do we beat ourselves down even further, or do we give ourselves the care and comforting that we so desperately need? So many of us choose, sadly, the former, but the benefits of self-kindness can be revolutionary.
You know, people listen to the program, people read about this in your books, Be the Change, Wired for High-Level Wellness. They see in great detail on your website, SusanSmithJones.com. How do you go about increasing our helper's high, show more kindness in our daily lives? That sounds good, but how do we go about it? Where do we start?
All right. So let me give you some suggestions, and start by saying we often hear people say things like open the door for others, or say hello to a stranger, or hug a loved one. And these are always on the list of acts of kindness. But I think a little differently than most people. I think these behaviors and acts should be considered common courtesy and generally nice behavior rather than something extraordinary. There are things that you can do that might go like the extra step. So I say, think of things that you can do that might take a little thought, a little effort, or time. Maybe, example here, maybe you buy the coffee for the car behind you in the drive-through lane. If you do that, not only will that brighten their entire day, but they'll tell other people about it. That will brighten their days. Maybe you donate blood. I always do that on a regular basis. I happen to be O negative, something you probably didn't know about me, but that means I'm the universal donor, and I'm always donating to the Red Cross because they can use my blood. Maybe you hand out hats and gloves to people in need, or pay for the bill of another's meal at a restaurant, or maybe even give your server, you know that maybe they're struggling and this is one of three jobs, maybe you give them a bigger tip. Maybe you shovel your neighbor's driveway with all the snow. Or maybe simply leave a little kind note of inspiration on a stranger's car, bring flowers to a nursing home. The list is endless what you could do. And I remember that the English novelist Aldous Huxley once said, this is a quote, he said, "People often ask me what the most effective technique is for transforming one's life. It's a little embarrassing that after years and years of research and experimentation, I have to say that the best answer is just be a little kinder."
You know, that's fascinating and so easy to do as we're going through the conversation, Dr. Susan pointing out all of these things that can be done. It's really not that difficult, is it? It's sort of a natural habit of ours if we just let it go.
No, that's right. And as I've told you in the past, it's always good every day to think about things for which you are grateful, especially before you go to sleep at night. But maybe add to that things that you can do to uplift someone else, and start with kindness towards yourself. Maybe the kindness towards yourself would be get a little extra sleep or drink some more water or eat some more fresh fruits and vegetables or make sure you do a walk. That's, an exercise routine.
Yes.
That's being kind towards yourself. And when you feel better about you, then you're more likely then to show kindness to other people. It's the sky's the limit with what you can do. Start with yourself, and then as you're kind to other people, they'll pay it forward. They'll be kind to other people, and it starts with each one of us to enrich the quality of our lives through this beautiful new science of kindness that helps us in so many ways.
Very important conversation today. Our topic, Health Benefits of Kindness, with Susan Smith-Jones, PhD. Our website, susansmithjones.com. Of course, you can link on by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. As we wrap up here, I mentioned talking about the latest book, Wired for High-Level Wellness, and international bestseller, rave reviews for the book. Your website is just such a wealth of information. Talk about how we can get information on the book and sign up on your website for the free newsletter.
Yes, so easy to do. Just go to susansmithjones.com, and right there, right on the homepage, it says free monthly newsletters. It takes about 10 to 15 seconds to sign up, and the general public never sees these beautiful newsletters that are replete with lots of great health info and delicious recipes. You know, I used to be the caterer and a chef, and I teach people how to make healthy meals at home. So it's easy to sign up, and again, the general public never sees these, and I consider everyone who's signed up for my newsletter as part of my extended family. And then if you go to New Book, You go to the new book page, and that will tell you all the different ways you can get my books. Of course, they're available on Amazon, but there's a way to get any of my books also personally autographed to you, sent right to your home or your office, or as a gift to someone else with a bookmark and a note card from me. So go to New Book, scroll down to number 5. It will teach you how to get a personally autographed book from me.
What a
and
great...
And that's of Wired for High-Level Wellness. Or any of my books, for that matter.
And all of the books, and they're, 30-some? We haven't talked in a month. You've probably written another one since we've talked the last time. You have so many that are helping so many people out there, and... All of the books are available at the website. Again, you can get them autographed. And what a great idea when you're looking through the menu of books that Dr. Susan has written. Great gift ideas for the holiday. Something of some substance, something that will change the lives of the people who are the gift recipients. So this has just been a fascinating conversation on so many levels, something we haven't talked about before, believe it or not, health benefits of kindness. And all of the scientific studies that back up the fact this helps both us, the giver and the recipient. It's been a fascinating conversation. Thank you for being with us on the program.
Thank you. I really look forward to our next visit.
And that will be in another month. Dr. Susan will be back with us. And again, all this information on Dr. Susan's website, SusanSmithJones.com. All of the past interviews we've done with Dr. Susan, you can go to our website or just Google, and you will find on 14 different podcasting networks the whole menu of programs that we've done in the past. And our website, thisweekinamerica.us, will have that information as well. So you're listening to This Week in America. Susan Smith-Jones, our guest, our website, SusanSmithJones.com. Back on today's program after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.